In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's finally summertime, and for many of us, that hopefully is a time to catch our breath a little bit and do things a little differently, a little different pace. But I have no such good news for you when it comes to the lectionary. We have made it through all of Lent, and then we made it through Holy Week, and then we had the wonderful celebrations of Easter and the great 50 days of Easter, the Feast of Pentecost, and then Trinity Sunday. And so now we think we move into ordinary time. That's what it's called. So we thought maybe we get some ordinary movement. But we are actually moving into some of the hardest sections of the year when it comes to what we are reading in the lectionary. For the next 6 weeks at least, we will be listening to the hardest passages in the Bible, starting with the Old Testament lesson that we just heard this morning. And it will get worse. We are going to deal with hard Old Testament lessons. We're going to deal with hard teachings of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to hear Jesus say things that we don't think he should have said, that seem uncharacteristic of the Prince of Peace. We start with today's gospel lesson. Oh, the last sentence of it we're okay with. We've talked about it so much in our lives. We think we understand what Jesus means when he says, those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. I think we understand that. Whether we're any good at it or not, we know that the tighter we cling to our life and our health and our possessions, the more dead we become. And the more loosely we can hold to those things, the more life we have. So we kind of understand that. But that was the end of it. He said a lot of things before that sentence. So when we back up and we hear him say, do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own house. And whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. As you know, we went on a mission trip this week. 31 of our teenagers and a group of adults went on the mission trip, and I was lucky and blessed enough to be one of those adults. And so by Wednesday, I knew I had a sermon to preach this Sunday. And we had done a lot of work already, and we had a little break going, and a group of us were playing eight ball at the cathedral. And so I said, I need your help. I need you to help me write a sermon for Sunday. And so while we were playing pool, I read them this gospel lesson and said, what do you think? And it was quiet, as you can imagine, for a little while. And then the obvious questions. Wait a minute, is Jesus saying I have to love him more than I love my mom? More than I love my dad? I think one even said, am I supposed to hate my parents in order to love Jesus? I didn't want to answer the question. First of all, I don't really have an answer to that question. But also, I wanted a conversation, so I said, I don't know, what do you think? So we ran down a few dead ends and some alleys and twisty turns and trying to come up with a solution, and what they came up with was as good as any I've ever heard. Not in these words, but basically it was the summary is that you have to love Jesus first in order to love your mom and dad well. Maybe that's what Jesus meant. That if we love someone more than God, then it becomes wrongly ordered love. You know, it becomes selfish and greedy. And we love and we want and we desperately want to cling to something. It's wrongly ordered love. And by loving Jesus first and letting Jesus love us and then we love Jesus, then we have rightly ordered love. And I can love my parents well or my kids well. Seemed pretty good. It might help for you to know what we had done that morning before we had that conversation. We had gone to the Holocaust Museum. You know, it's an urban service experience. So we did a lot of hands-on mission work, but we also went to the Holocaust Museum and the Museum of Natural History and some other things in Houston. And we've been to the Holocaust Museum all morning. And for many of us, it was the first time we had any exposure to the Holocaust like that. It was a kind of a history lesson for a lot of kids, but this was real life. We heard a testimony from an actual survivor who was our sort of host who welcomed us, told us his story. And then we walked through this museum of horrors. Museum of the effect of wrongly ordered love. This is what love looks like. When you love power, when you love to hate, when you love fear, and when you love country without any filter. The greatest moral atrocity that's perhaps ever been perpetrated on the planet. So that's where we've been. So we talked around table at lunch. How could this have happened? How could this be? How could this have happened on God's watch? The kids started wrestling with theodicy, a study of evil. How can this kind of evil exist in the world? And the kids were pretty smart. They said, well, God can't make us love him. It's not love if God makes you do it. That's just the result of when you choose not to. So that's kind of where we were. And then later in the trip, we went to serve dinner, a small group. Our group got broken up in lots of different times, and a small half of us went to the Salvation Army one evening to serve dinner. We got there a little bit early, and so they gave us a tour, and they brought us into the chapel. And they said, we have a choir, because there are two groups of men that we fed there. One is the men who are in the recovery program, drug and alcohol program, most of them veterans. And then the second group that we fed were general open population of homeless men in Houston. But we got there early, so we sat in the chapel, and they said, we have a choir, and they have a gig tonight, and they want to come practice for you. And the guy that introduced them, of course, was very playful, and he said, they're terrible. I'm just telling you, they're terrible. But please don't insult them by putting your fingers in your ears. And so we clapped for them when they came in. And I told them, well, you're singing to some singers. We got some good singers in this room. So when they came in, the choir master said, I hear there's some singers in this group. And he grabbed two of our girls that are singers and put them up in the choir. And they started singing a song. And it wasn't a song that we knew, but the girls were good sports. And they were coming along, they were getting the rhythm, and they were finding the chorus, and it was good. And then they were getting ready to sing their second song. And sometime between the first and the second song, I looked on the wall behind them, and there's a banner in their chapel that says, we do not strive against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and evil in high places. This is a group of grown men. Grown men, middle-aged and older men. Veterans, most of them. Who had seen things that ought not exist on this earth if love was rightly ordered. And they had experienced the result of that in their own lives. And they had fallen into addiction and homelessness. And now they were choosing something else. They were choosing something else. They were choosing to battle against the powers and principalities of this world that want us to love wrongly. So I was ready for their next song. Their next song, the great statement against the powers and principalities. And they sang, this little light of mine. Grown men singing, this little light of mine, with two high school girls, with all their heart and with all their soul. They were choosing love. They had chosen everything else, and it led to death. Now they were choosing love. And it dawned on me, because I was trying to record it, but I was crying, so it was kind of hard to do. This is how God combats the Holocaust. This is how God, the creator of the universe, says no to the Holocaust. You must love me. Love is the only way out of this. You must love me. And these men were choosing love. And these girls were choosing love. I just spent a week watching your children choose love. I think we should follow their lead. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.